Blog Talk Radio.
Batten down the hatches and hide the kids. This is the show that is definitely sweeping the country. We are the Bar. It's the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend. He's in Arizona. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles. 347-205. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. 7961 is I get this thing out there. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. If you don't get the live version, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, Kip, as I lay this thing down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic and podium to you. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, man, there is a lot to talk about, too, as we hit the championship Sunday.
Mark, I'm doing really good today. Got a good night's sleep last night, woke up happy, did some work in the house today, cleaned some cabinets out, whatever, all that stuff. You can get a hold of me at kipgross.com or beagamer@gmail.com. And, yeah, you're right, there's a lot going on. Football's cranking up, some good games this last weekend, so let's have a great show.
Well, if you woke up happy, the girlfriend must have spent the evening with you.
We won't go there.
We're not going there on this one. But, boy, it's nice to hear your voice and get this show going. Tuesdays, man, are the throwdown, man. This is just picking up steam. More and more people seem to be listening to us and hearing us. And I keep telling everybody we talked about in the pre-chat, you and I, it's an acquired taste. You might not understand it, but you get accustomed to it real quick and spit it out like mouthwash because we're like your first beer. A lot of things to talk about. I will tell you this. 3 out of 4 I won after the first week of the playoffs. I went 1-5. But the conspiracy theory came into the forefront. If Buffalo won, I would have swept the board, but 3-1 is still good. But they're trying to push Kansas City into the Super Bowl. And I don't know if it's a Taylor Swift movement. I don't know what it is. I'll be honest with you, and I've let everybody be honest. This lady doesn't turn me on at all. She's 58 pounds dripping wet, and there's too much lipstick. If she wants to try out for the Joker in Batman in another sequel, that'll be another story for another day. But just doesn't do anything for me. And I don't know what Travis Kelce's brother's doing in a suite in Buffalo, jumping around, looking like the abdominal snowman out there with his T-shirt off. But boy, I'll tell you, this whole Kelce Swift thing, I think it's running its course, if you ask me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's to the point now where it should be done with. I don't have a problem with them going up and showing her in the booth or in the box, once or twice a game. But when it's 15, 16, 17 times a game, it's just like, what are we doing here, networks? Why don't we watch the game? Why don't we highlight maybe the last play a little bit more, or show some of the really good plays in the game, or some of the hits or hard hits or what's going on. Kelce's brother up there with his shirt off, he retired now, so he can do whatever the hell he wants to do, which is good by him, I guess. But, it's turned into a little bit of a comedy show. And just like we did talk in the pregame was it just seems every week there's controversy around Kansas City now. And so it's pretty obvious to me and you also and a lot of other people out there that the NFL is pushing for those guys to get to the Super Bowl again. And I don't know what it is. It must be Mahomes and the Kelce and the Taylor Swift thing. I don't know what it is, but it sure seems like the plays and the holds that they're not calling against Kansas City is just phenomenal to watch it. When you watch as much football as we do, You know what's going on in the game. You see the penalties. And when they're not called, it's a travesty. So, but, Taylor Swift, keep doing your thing, and we'll see what happens down the future with
– Yeah, I mean, it's just – I don't understand it. I mean, the NFL's in bed with this whole thing, and I think it's just going to carry over to the Super Bowl. And I think Baltimore's been the best team since week 4, but I don't know. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if – Kansas City, and they don't have the team, whether it's offense or defense, to compare with the Ravens, because the Ravens just are clicking on all cylinders, but somehow this game seems like they're trying to push Kansas City into the big dance in Vegas, and it'll be the, you know, the Taylor Swifties and all that stuff. But I don't know. You know, if you watch the game long enough, Kip, and we've watched it, you know, you start to see things and you kind of scratch your head and you wonder, wow, that thing seems very familiar on how this thing's playing out. I know they've been to the championship six straight times. I know they're trying to build them up like the New England Patriots. But I don't know what it is, because to me, they really don't want Detroit in there. They're looking for a San Francisco-Kansas City thing to knock out the Detroits and Baltimores, blue-collar towns, I guess. I don't know what to say about it.
You're right about it, and that's exactly what it is. They want the blue collar out and the white collar to get in there. And the whole thing about Kansas City, they're pushing them in. It's just been happening more and more as the second half of the season was going along too. You know, they just seem to get these calls constantly, and you know, it's almost like the anti Raiders, because you know there's a lot of calls go against the Raiders for years, and that was the old, you know, Al Davis thing, you know, suing the NFL and all that. So they always had a bad gig with the refs and the league. But you're right. They're looking for a 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl. And, you know, I would love to see Detroit Lions win and get the Super Bowl. You know, they're probably not going to, but they're my surprise this week as far as don't be surprised, because they're playing great football. And that head coach, you know, they could have fired him early on a couple years ago with his record, but you know, they said, no, we're sticking with this guy. You know, the owners came in and were vocal about it and said, no, we're going to keep him around because we believe in what we're doing here and build an organization. And now look where they're at. They're one game away, one win away from going to the biggest dance in football. That's the Super Bowl. And I got news for everybody out there. Those Ravens, just like I said, from day one, defense wins championships. So, they're there for a reason, and they got the best, you know, probably the MVP of the league on their team as the quarterback. So we're going to see. Either way, I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl from what's going to happen.
Well, let's talk about the Lions for a minute and their head coach. When he first came out, I didn't quite understand breaking kneecaps. I thought this guy came from the UFC or the WWE. You know, he's one of the guys that I saw it was trying out for ring announcing when I was doing the XPW, Extreme Professional Wrestling. I didn't know what this guy was selling. But whatever he was selling, the one thing that stood out with me, Kip, was he was authentic. And he was very consistent with each and every week of believing in the guys. You know, and I kind of looked at what he said, and it kind of crept in the back of my mind. You know, if you care about other people more than yourself, you can do real special things in life. And I think that's what he's brought and installed in Detroit. And the Lions have brought it to the forefront, and they're believing. First, you know, division title since 91, pretty much. First championship game since 93 when the Redskins nailed them. And now they're trying to get to their first Super Bowl. So, I mean, but, you know, you can do a lot when people believe in you. And I think that's the key, because we see what in everyday society, people focus on the negatives, the world can focus on the negatives, but when you get a guy that says, you know what, I believe and trust what you got, and he keeps telling you that even when you have a bad game or something, you're gonna wake up in the middle of the night and you're gonna try to practice or do something, get the floodlights on in the backyard and maybe get some players over there at 2-3 in the morning. You're gonna do something because there's a guy that believes in you. And I think that's very important, and it lacks in today's society today. Any thought to what Dan Campbell's doing over there in Detroit?
Dan Campbell's doing all the right things. He's, just like you said, when he talks to the media, he's up front with you. He almost sounds like he's going to kick your teeth in when you listen to him, because that's how he is, and that's who he is, and that's how the team plays. And they're playing hard behind him, and they'll run through a wall for him. And that's what you want when you have the head coach there running the organization for you. And when it's like that, your players, just like a baseball, you know, when I played for Lou Piniella, everybody on that team would run through a wall for him, would run through a wall. And just the previous year, Pete Rose was the manager, and it wasn't that way. Things changed because of one guy coming in and saying, hey, I believe in you as players. let's go out here and put it together and do our thing. And for this man to take the Detroit Lions to their first championship ever is already remarkable. And now to see if they might go to the Super Bowl would be even more cool. So hopefully they do it. And you're right about the blue collar and the white collar for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it when you see that. So as you break these things down, I like Baltimore. I like San Francisco. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Detroit pulls it out, but I think a San Francisco-Baltimore round two minus the Harbaughs, the other Harbaugh, it would be exciting in Vegas. And we saw this play out, you know, not too long ago, and the Ravens just exposed them. So round two on this one, that would be epic in Vegas. But if we get Detroit-Kansas City, that would be week one when Detroit beat them, so I don't know about that. We could have a San Francisco-Kansas City. So there's going to be some interesting scenarios here on how this thing plays out. But I think they're going to want, you know, either San Francisco-Baltimore or San Francisco-Kansas City in this minus Detroit. But the Detroit story would be good. But I'm going Baltimore-San Francisco. I had Baltimore since week four. I'm going to ride them to the championship. Any thoughts on your predictions?
Yeah, I'm with you on Baltimore. I mean, Kansas City, the train can only go so long, and they can only do the things they're doing for them for so long, and the plays, and so I've definitely got to go with Baltimore. I've said since way back, defense wins championships, and they've got one of the better ones, so I've got to stick with them for sure. Over on the other side, I would love to see Detroit, just like I said a little while ago, I'd love to see Detroit get in there just because they've never, I mean, it's been, what, 25 years since they even won a playoff game or something like that. It's a crazy number. And now they're, like I said, maybe one play away from going to the Super Bowl. So, but, you know, I'd be happy with the San Francisco Ravens Super Bowl just as well. So, but like I said, don't be surprised, though, if Detroit upsets the 49ers playing right now. And on the other side, don't be surprised the Chiefs get in either because it's the media wants them. And surprisingly, about a week ago or so ago, I can't remember how long it was, but I actually saw an advertisement from the NFL saying that the certain halftime performers were being set for the Super Bowl where the Chiefs are playing the 49ers. It was on the NFL advertisement about a week and a half ago, so. It's just what they do. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Hey, Josh Hader, 5 years, $95 million with the Houston Astros. I've always liked this guy. This guy brings the heat. He's 29 years old. Wow, can you imagine if you were still playing today?
Yeah, it's crazy out there. Like you were talking on the pregame in 1991 after we won the World Series, the Cincinnati Reds. You know, they had Barry Larkin, Eric Davis, and Tom Browning all signed three-year deals that were huge, huge in 1991, and they each signed for a combined $9 million for a three-year contract. So what you're seeing today is it's actually mind-blowing. I do believe all the players are worth what they're getting because there's nobody else in the world can do what they do, and that's just the way it is. You know, people always say athletes are way overpaid. But you show me one other guy on the street that can go do what that man does on that baseball field, and then we'll see what they're worth. Their worth is crazy because of how talented and how good of players they are compared to, say, an A-ball player, a college player. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy for all the players in baseball making what they're making. And, you know, it's just all the guys, like from my era and before, set this all up for him. And so – It's not going to go down. It's only going to keep going up. So there's a lot of money in baseball, and some of these teams have no problem spending it, which is really good to see.
Yeah, are you surprised now? Because we got Blake Snell still out there, rumored to go to the Angels. Cody Bellinger's still out there, rumored to go to the Giants, maybe the Cubs back re-signing. There's some guys here that, I mean, we're going towards the end of April, you know, with baseball just around the corner, going into spring training. I mean, if I'm a free agent, I'm trying to get this done by, you know, at least before, you know, Thanksgiving so I can get situated in a city, maybe get an apartment, maybe depending on if I'm a house or whatever. these guys are going to be getting, contracts, and then they're not going to have no rest. They're not going to know what's up. They don't have time to go get a house or a townhome in a city unless somebody's doing it for them. But how tough is that, dragging it this far out and not even knowing where you're going and picking up the family and everything? It's going to be tough.
Yeah, you know what, though, Mark? Like I said last week, the same thing. You know, they all wait for a certain player to sign. And then they know where the cap is. And then once that other, or maybe even better than that other player. So the agents kind of delay these things a little bit just because they're trying to get the most that they possibly can out of every organization instead of just saying, hey, we'll take this or we'll take that. And then it actually draws the market, brings the market back down some. And so agents aren't going to let that happen because they're out there studying everything that's going on with all the players and where they're headed. And you know, way back when, just a little example for you, I can't remember the player. It might have been the Jeff Fry, if I remember right. I can't remember for sure. But he was getting ready to sign with the Boston Red Sox. And what happened was the agent made a call to the Yankees and said, hey, we're getting ready to sign Jeff Fry and over at the Boston Red Sox. And the Yankees actually went way over their offer because it was the other way around. Boston, they called Boston, and Boston went way over the offer just because they didn't want the Yankees in their division, their biggest rivalry ever, getting another player that they could get. And so they end up signing Jeff Fry instead of the Yankees. I believe it was Frito, though, at that time. But, you know, it's a game out there. It's a game for contracts, a game for money. And it's just, okay, let's wheel and deal and see where we can get. But they're not going to sign some of these guys until a certain other player sign, and that's just how it's always been.
Yeah, that's unbelievable when you think about it. Any prediction on where some of these guys are going? I mean, I threw Snell out there, maybe the Angels, Bellinger. I mean, you got J.D. Martinez still out there, Justin Turner. I mean, it's unbelievable so far.
Well, Bellinger, you know, I've been a kind of negative on him for quite a few years just because I didn't like his swing, and I think that's why he was hitting, you know, 168, then 185 or whatever he was hitting with the Dodgers, and then they let him go. I would think he'd be absolutely crazy if he doesn't re-sign with the Cubs after having a comeback year that he had after being almost non-existent in as a hitter. And so he goes over there, he turns it around, hit 300 this year. Did really well. He's a great outfielder. I've never said anything bad about his outfielding play because he can flat out play the center field position. You know, the pitchers, in my opinion, you got to go somewhere where your team can win. And you know, as far as hitters are concerned, you know, you just got to find where you can fit in because as a hitter, there's only so many positions that you can play. And so it's very limited out there. You know, if another team has a third baseman and you're a third baseman, they're not really going to dump the other guy to bring you in. It's just not going to happen that way because it's a guaranteed contract unless they can make a trade with it. So as a pitcher, you have a lot more choices out there. And so we'll see what Snell does. You know, he's really, really good. I'd love to see the Angels get him just because they need pitching. But we'll see what happens. It's a tough one out there to predict where these guys are going to go, though.
Yeah, and you talk about the Padres, and the Padres have lost guys left and right this winter. I mean, Soto went to the Yankees. They got a blockbuster package coming back to the West Coast. But, you know, when they lost Seth Lugo, they've lost now Josh Hader. They'll lose Blake Snell. So this is a team that's going to kind of be in transition. They're not going to be picked probably to win the division because now they're looking at the Dodgers, they're looking at Arizona, and we'll find out what San Francisco does. But, boy, how the mighty have fallen. What happened to the Padres? And here's a team that, you know, a few years ago the same thing happened. They went out there and they picked up the Matt Kemps and the Shields and all this, and then all of a sudden they started dropping them. I don't know, you know, if this had any effect with the owner passing away during the winter, but, boy, the Padres, I mean, and here's a team that, you know, is trying to keep up with the big boys, but kind of tough when you start losing guys left and right.
Mark, I'm gonna throw one out here to you right now, and everybody out there might laugh at me, but I'm going to say right now, don't be surprised if the Padres are better this year, this next coming year, than they have been in the last couple of years. because now they're not going to have all those stars on their team, you know, vying for help or and glory and the camera on them all the time. I think it's going to go back to more of a blue-collar team a little bit and go play baseball and not all the you know, heroic stuff of flipping bats and doing all these other crazy stuff, you know, when you hit a home run or score or get a double or whatever. I really believe, like I said, don't be surprised if they're better this year than they were last year.
Yeah, that's a good one. Dalen from Chelmsford, Mass. Chiming in, he says, guys, keep up the good work. He thinks it's going to be Detroit winning it all. That's a nice story you guys laid out. But I don't know about if the NFL is going to let them win it. Did you know the Lions are a few teams that haven't been to the Super Bowl? The other one has been the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. The Lions about, you know, I think it's been 3 decades since they won a playoff game. So that's got to be something. Great take out of there. Let me get this guy, Steve, from Corvallis, Oregon, basically saying keep your eyes on the Detroit Tigers this year. The Tigers could do some damage. I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series, but I like the makeup. They had a great year last year, and it was the Cabrera Tour. So keep your eyes on the Tigers. As far as the National League goes, it's anybody's thing, but I still like the Phillies. So a Philly-Detroit thing could be interesting. That's an interesting from Steve from Corvallis, Oregon. Kip, are you on that one? It's just too many good teams. The Tigers are just, I don't know.
You know, Steve, anything can happen in baseball. That's just one of the things. You know, you get a couple injuries here or there. You know, you get a signing comes in and it just changes the whole makeup of your club. And so, you know, in baseball, it wouldn't be surprised me if any team has a great year just because of it. Just, you know, a couple players might just find something they haven't found in years. Like Bellinger, you know, he goes over the Cubs this year.
Yeah.
He went from hitting .168 to hitting over .300 this year, and he found something in his swing. I mean, he's always had a big loopy swing trying to hit bombs all the time, and now he cut it down. And he did what he could do this year, which was outstanding. So there are teams like that with players like that that can completely change the makeup of your team. And for you to say Detroit, I really like that. I wish Cabrera was still there. But, you know, what a great career he had, Hall of Fame career. But some of these teams out there, don't be surprised. You know, a pitcher finds it. You know, just like the Yankees this last year, they had injuries. You know, you have injuries, and it's hard to win when your main guys are out. You know, you lose that big guy in your lineup that's hit 60 home runs the year before, and now he's hurt again. And it draws down your club, and all those numbers are just, you know, and the wins are reflected by that. So, you know, as far as Philadelphia, I'd love to see them get back in. You know, they've got that blue-collar team. They all play hard. Harper out there, he's like a madman. He's one of my favorite players in all of baseball ever because of how he plays the game. He plays it hard, and he doesn't go out and do the showmanship stuff. He just goes out and does it, and a couple MVPs, and he'll probably win a couple more before it's all said and done. So I'd like to see that too. Nice blue-collar World Series.
Yeah, I'm looking at that too, if they can get it. Interest in signings, the Pirates, we talked about signing Chapman, 35 years old. Hopefully he can stay the year there in Pittsburgh. I know they start moving guys around the All-Star break, but, you know, somebody in the back end of that bullpen. You know, the funny thing about the Pirates, I will tell you this, they start to pick up these guys and they put them in the back end of the bullpen, and they do wonders there. We've seen quite a few guys over the years. Hanrahan was one of them. You know, they've just had so many good relievers come out of Pittsburgh. And I'm sure you when you guys played them, picking them up, I don't want to say picking them off scrap heap iron, but they're just interested when they come there. They do wonders. And this funnel back on what Steve was saying, you know, on the Tigers, they picked up two key guys that eat up a lot of innings, Jack Flaherty, and they picked up Kenta Maeda. So I kind of like those guys that eat up innings and guys that probably can teach the youngsters what it's all about. I think they picked up a guy a couple years ago, and I don't know if he had arm problems, a kid by the name of Mize. So I like the Tigers' makeup. the division is kind of all open all the way around. Cleveland's trying to find themselves. No more Francona there. But we'll find out. The White Sox, the Royals, you know, the Twins. It should be an interesting division. But even winning the division, you still got to go up against the Blue Jays, the Yankees, you know, the Astros, the Rangers. I mean, this is going to be interesting come playoff time. So I don't know if the Tigers got enough. On the other side of that coin, I think the Phillies are going to figure it out. I mean, you know, they're kind of disheartening coming up short last year, but you know what? They got that same group in there, and, you know, sometimes you got to lose to win it. And, you know, they felt it, they tasted it, they came up short, and who knows, they could get back in there. The interesting story in the National League is your former team. What the Cincinnati Reds, can they get in it? They got a lot of young guys over there. Good young nucleus, De La Cruz and everything. That'll be the interesting thing with the Reds and the Pirates.
Yeah, the Reds, you know, it's very interesting because, like you said, they're really young, and those young teams, just like Arizona this last year, you know, they made a run and did a great job of everything, and man, they shocked the world, basically. They shocked the baseball world. You know, I want to expand on something here real quick as far as these teams and bringing other players in. Like you said, you know, a scrap type of player or a guy that's revitalized his career or just somebody that's like so-so, and then he goes in. Well, what kind of happens with this when these players go do that is, like we were talking earlier, they got somebody that believes in them, and now they're going to put them in a role that they can conquer out there and do really well for the team. Instead, you know, some of these guys, they go in and they're moved all over the bullpen, and they don't have, you know, a certain roles, and so they're kind of back and forth, and so they don't know really where they're going to be. You know, all your closers out there are closers. There's a reason they're closers. All your starters are starters. Your 1, 2, and 3 starters, they're starters for a reason, because that's what they do really, really well. But then some of these, you know, managers and pitching coaches, they move guys around a little bit, and it disrupts everybody. It doesn't just disrupt 1 or 2 guys. It kind of disrupts the entire pitching staff. And so now guys get down on things like that, and they don't perform as well as they possibly could otherwise. And then again, you got guys that move to another organization. They meet a new pitching coach or a pitching instructor. And it's like, oh my God, what did he just tell me? And now you're throwing a bullpen and like your breaking ball or curveball is breaking 6 more inches than it previously was because of one little thing that a coach or a pitching coach showed you. And that's that. These things just are behind the scenes that people don't see all the time. And they might just like when you go to the Braves back when the Hall of Famers were all there with Maddox, Glavine, those guys all threw 2 bullpens between every start. People don't even realize that. You know, they throw one 2 days after they pitch, and they throw another one the third day and just work on rhythm and stuff like that. And so these are the things that people want to find as players when you move to another organization. And hopefully some of these new players going into, you know, some of these smaller clubs do that for them and revitalize, and next thing you know, they're going to win again.
Yeah, in L.A., we got a guy, Scott Howard Cooper, always listened to. I enjoy always listening, even if I have to hear about the Dodgers about to begin an 0-162 season. Oh, yeah, I'll have the cannons ready in a couple months here for those guys. And then when you guys, you know, tell me about what you're going to do and during the regular season come October when the leaves start to turn and you guys get bounced, somebody's going to get bounced there and you're going to give me another excuse. John Wooden used to tell everybody, no excuses, make adjustments. Well, you've made the adjustments. I think you've ran out of excuses. Kip, we're almost out of this show, buddy. And next week we'll get the Super Bowl thing running and other things. Man, we can keep going on. A lot of people say there's 303 area code, 714s loaded up, the 412s, 732s area code, 617s. Boy, a lot of guys out there, and we appreciate you guys. Kip and myself here each and every Tuesday. I guarantee you, within the next couple months, we're going to get this thing up to an hour. We're that good, and we need to get you more informed. Hopefully, you guys sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic on the West Coast won't fall asleep listening to us.
Hey, before we get off today of this, I just want to throw a quick shout-out to Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton for being elected to the Hall of Fame this year. It's a great class. They're all very deserving. And there's still some guys out there that should be in but aren't, but we'll have to wait for the other committees to bring them in. But, again, Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton, congratulations. What a great career you guys had.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And let me just take one quick one here. We haven't heard from Lance from Pensacola. He must be in hibernation. Or maybe when it's Groundhog Day, he'll pop up, but we haven't heard him and his Cowboys. But let me bring in Jerry from Austin, Texas, saying, guys, I like Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is cute. You guys shouldn't be jealous of women making billions and billions of dollars. Hey, nothing about making billions and billions of dollars. I just don't like women that are 40 pounds dripping wet and their skinny legs, man. I mean, come on. The last time I saw this in a magazine, I had to send 10 cents somewhere to feed these people. I mean, she's got money. You can feed yourself. And too much lipstick, man, just a little lipstick. I mean, we're not auditioning for the Joker here. I know Heath Ledger passed away, God rest his soul, but is Taylor Swift trying to become the next Joker in Batman? Thanks, Jerry. Wow, as we wrap this thing up, Chip, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you till we reconvene next week, brother, same time, same channel.
It's been a good one, and yeah, this just goes way too fast, but kipgross.com and beagamer@gmail.com is the way to get a hold of me. Loving doing this every week. It's fun as fun gets. And Taylor Swift, she's one of those people to me. You know, if she wasn't this great pop singer, whatever the hell she claims to be, I don't think people even notice her. So,
no.
Travis Kelce, good on you. But for the rest of some of us out there, we're with Mark on this one.
Yeah, Nick from Sparks, Nevada goes, Taylor Swift looks like the progressive girl. They got about as much lipsticks on as each other. That's why there's no more red lipstick in town at some of these places. For Chip Gross in Arizona, here's Jerry Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Spread the word. Let everybody know in your town we're coming. Adjust the mirrors. Till next week, have a blessed one, guys. Thanks, Chip. I love you.
Love you too, man. See you all next week.